It was a few years ago, the phone rang on my cell phone, and it was on the other end was a niece of mine, someone precious, dear, and so close to my heart. I'd known her since the day she was born. But on the other line, I realized her tears were flowing. She was crying, and she said, "Uncle, I need to tell you something. I need to tell you that my husband's leaving me. He's chosen another woman, and my world is shattered." I can remember listening to her and hearing her tears as they fell on the phone. And I said to her, the very thing I'll say to you today. I said to her, "Kimberly, you have to step up. Because there are times in our lives when things come at us we'll never understand." And through a span of time, God carried her all the way through the greatest challenge of her life. She never dreamed that the love of her life would leave her, but he did. I called him on the phone. He would never return my phone calls. And I can recall so vividly, wanting to say to him, "Son, how could you sit down when God has entrusted something to you to step up to?" But you know the truth of the matter is, she did live beyond that moment. God opened the door for her to be blessed to meet a fabulous young man. And I'm illustrating with her on purpose because she listens to everything I preach. And I want her to hear that the words I said, "step up," then are why she sees the affirmation of God now. For her, she met a wonderful man. And just like our family is blessed to have another grandson coming into our lives, the greatest dream of her life was to have a child. She met a man, she married him, and this fall, she will also have a little boy. And that little boy will come into her world, and it's interesting. It's interesting what they named that child, Christian Samuel. And her verse she posted on the name when he announced the name was, "For this child I prayed, and God answered my prayer." You see, for Kimberly, she could have given up. She could have said, "It's not worth it. The fight is too hard. The pain is too great. The circumstances are too challenging. The emotions are too overwhelming. The situation is too overwhelming. What do I do?" But she didn't. And for anyone in this room, you realize there are times you walk through seasons in which you have to ponder, what does it mean to step up instead of sit down? And one of the things you discover is stepping up is never defined by our age. It's always defined by our heart. Because it doesn't matter what age we are, if we choose to step into what it is God has for us, we discover the most amazing thing. And it's interesting because life is a battle. And the battle is two different parallels coming at us at the same time often. On one side, there's fear. Man, if we do this, what will we do? And I'll be honest with you, the first time I walk in this building, I thought to myself, we have to pay for this. And a moment of fear came across me. And then I thought, oh, what a great God we have, that He will take care of this. And those parallels are fear and faith. And it's interesting what happens. Because fear steals your identity, faith validates it. Think about that for a moment. Fear steals your identity, faith validates it. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. It's much easier to live in a land of excuses where fear rules than it is to walk into the valley of faith and know that the next mountain you're looking at, you can conquer. And so today, we think about what it means to step up. We've been talking about vision, how to see what it is God has for us, what He wants to do inside of us. Imagine for a moment you're sitting in church, and in church you begin to ponder how many times you let fear win. You were going to do it, but you didn't. You were going to share, but you didn't. You were going to testify, but you didn't. And all of a sudden you realized you want to live a life of faith. You want to live a life where God sees your heart and sees what it is He has for you, and you begin to see it, and you begin to say, you know what, that's who I want to be. It's interesting what happens oftentimes, because what you discover is, just when you need it the most, God speaks to your heart. And interesting, at times He'll speak to you the night, at times He'll speak to you in amazing ways. I was visiting with a friend who's in this room yesterday, and she was telling the testimony from the recent mission trip, and she was telling me a testimony about what happened in one lady's life. And so, as she told me the testimony, she told me the story of a lady who was sick while we were there. One of the pastors who went with us prayed over her and with her and for her. And so when I got up this morning, I thought, I'm going to write that pastor, tell him that this lady died. I want to see what this pastor writes when I send that note. And it's interesting what he said. He wrote these words: "I sensed when she prayed, Jesus entering her heart." That's what he wrote. And when I heard that, I thought, there is a man of faith, a man of faith. And so today I want to ask you, if someone were etching the story of your life, would they write down how many times you were afraid to do this or do that, to share or not share, to read or not read? Or would they write down, she believed God for great things. She believed beyond herself that God could use her. He looked only to Jesus. You see, the reality is today we come to that moment in which we enter into a second year of opportunity, a second year of being able to step up. And today we find ourselves looking at probably the most piercing words that Timothy ever read written to him. Words that stood out beyond anything else. And if you have your Bible, turn, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you're turning there, let me just give you a quick reminder of this particular letter. As Paul pens his final words, his intent is to make sure that he validates what's critical regarding faith and he conquers what connects to fear. And what you discover very quickly is that he writes and he reminds Timothy of some things. And then he, in a piercing way, says this: he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and discipline. As you open your Bible there, let's look and see what it is that Timothy read, and no doubt he read it more than one time. Verse 3, chapter 1. I thank God, whom I serve with a clear conscience the way my forefathers did, as I constantly remember you in my prayers night and day, longing to see you even as I recall your tears, so that I may be filled with joy. For I'm mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm sure that is in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. Don't miss that line. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus for all eternity, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher. When you read this, you immediately come to the place where you realize, in an amazing way, what does Paul say to Timothy? He says, step up. Step up. Don't you let anything get in your way. And it's interesting what he does. He reminds him of his heritage. You know what's interesting? What's absent from this story is his father. What is absent from this story could have incapacitated him. In fact, it may have been what made him timid. We know nothing about that side of his life, but we do know this: the powerful impact of a faithful father versus one who is not. For me, this week, my father's birthday falls first and then mine. And on my father's birthday, it was late at night. I went down the basement to get something out of our basement, and there was a picture of my father. I looked at it. I can remember so many different moments, where I knew over and over again God needed to be my father. And that picture reminded me of the faithfulness of God, no matter what circumstance. And then I thought about other fathers represented in this room, faithful men who love their children. I think about those whose dads were pastors, like Angie Neals and others, faithful men who carried the cross, denied themselves, and followed Jesus. You see, when you look at it, you get down to the bottom line and you ask yourself this really pondering question. Have you ever had anybody say to you, step up? Maybe you've been able to float through life with everybody just saying, hey, just get by. And listen carefully. When you water down the gospel and you compromise a culture and you criticize the Bible and you misunderstand the purpose of God, it's easy for people to sit down instead of stepping up. And that's why we as a people are stepping up to what God has for us. I had the privilege yesterday of visiting with a young couple who are going to join our fellowship today. So we met at Chick-fil-A, and I was telling both of them that if you want to be in a place that believes this book and recognizes the power of the gospel and who trusts the Lord for great things, you're in the right place to come, because that's what we want to do. We want to step up. And I said to them, just like I'd say to everyone here, if we step up, nothing can stop us. Nothing. And that's exactly what Paul was saying to Timothy. So I ask you today, when you think about it, when's the last time you stepped up? And if it's taking you a while to get there, it's time to step on up more and let God do what only He can do. When you think about stepping up, you begin to ponder. You have to ask yourself one single question. What keeps us from getting where God wants us to be? What keeps you? What keeps me? And I'm going to tell you what you discover. It is a single word, fear. Fear. And it's interesting what happens because the two powerful emotions that capture people's lives are fear and anger. Fear comes at us in a way that only we see. Anger comes at us in a way that everyone sees. And as a result, those two things paralyze us. You ever been around somebody that's angry? What do you think? First thought, I don't want to be around him anymore. I can honestly say, it's interesting, growing up, I grew up around an angry father. My dad was angry. Angry. He turned angry when he was 16 years old. So by the time I came on the scene, he'd been angry a long time. I only saw my father smile twice. He was drunk both times. Never smiled. He was angry. And it's interesting, you know, his anger started so young. You know where it started at? It started at a compromising Christian. Somebody who claimed his name, but didn't live for him. And let me just say this to you. You want to step up? If you claim his name, don't compromise your witness. Because you never know who's watching. You never know who it is going to see what it is you're about. But when you think about that, what would happen if all of a sudden today in church you realize God is here? He has something for you. He wants to work in your life. And he wants to do something that's totally amazing. When I think about that, a principle that hits me every day is this. Fear and faith battle every day for the throne of our lives. Every day. Every day we have to get up and say, all right, am I going to live to trust him? Or am I going to live overwhelmed by life? Fear and faith do this great battle. And they come at us. We begin to ponder, well, would I, could I, should I, what can I do? How can I do it? What do I need to ponder now? What do I need to do? How do I need to move at it? And let me just say this to you. Don't dare let fear take away what God can do. Don't dare let fear live on the throne of your heart and life. Listen, it may not make sense to anybody but you and Jesus. You just stay with him. Because the reality is, I can remember, there was a man who had that same kind of faith. He's been dead a long time. But he had enough faith to believe. Had enough faith to believe that if he just kept speaking in faith, God would do something. God would move. How I thank God I sit next to his son every Sunday. And I'm reminded of the faith of a quiet man. And what you discover is this. You don't have to be loud to be faithful. You only have to be loyal to the one who knows your name, and that is Jesus. So today we think about stepping up, what could happen in our lives. And today I want to show you what happens. Because in this particular passage, obviously the great reminder to all of us is this. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But I want you to look back at the verse before that. Because notice if you would, verse 6, and notice what he said. For this reason, I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. I want you to see what he's saying here. Because here's what he's trying to get across. There is no greater blessing than a focused life. Because if you're focused, you can see with clarity. Have you ever had a moment where your glasses were off, and if you have glasses or you wear contact, and you see how fuzzy things are, and all of a sudden you put your glasses on, and you can see with great clarity? Well, here's what Paul says spiritually. When you are focused on Jesus, you see with 20/20 vision. You see exactly what it is he has for you. And don't you love having that kind of vision where you can see what it is he wants to do with your life, how he wants to work? Now imagine for a moment. Here he says in this verse, I want to remind you to kindle afresh. In other words, set the flame on fire again. I have a buddy in here who loves to burn a fire in the winter. In fact, he is interesting because this last winter, he bought firewood, but he bought a whole bunch of it. It's all green. Green wood doesn't burn very well in a fire. In fact, it doesn't burn at all. And I'll never forget being in his house after he'd bought his green wood. And you know what he was testifying to? It doesn't burn. It's a lot of headache. You got to burn a lot of gas in it. Eventually it will burn, but gas is burning it, not the wood. And I'm going to tell you what you discover. Here's what Paul's saying. You better be careful what kind of wood you burn, because you don't want to be green and miss the best of life. He says, kindle afresh the sincere faith I've seen in you. And it's interesting what happened. When you have a focused life, there are two things that happen all the time. They happen over and over and over again. Number one, you begin to experience the supernatural. You begin to experience the supernatural of what God has. And I want to challenge you to realize something. Life is too short to miss those moments when the supernatural happens. Last week, I testified to you about our son and his wife and their move to Atlanta. And it's interesting because at every turn, Caleb is discovering that the supernatural hand of God works in those who are obedient. If you just willingly trust. This week he sent me a note. He said to me, Dad, what time does church start at One Heart? 8 years, 10 years, I've waited for a question like that. You may be saying, well, that doesn't seem like a very relevant question. It's not that big a deal. It is if your son walked out of church and then he asked you what time church is. God has done a great thing because my son is discovering you can experience the supernatural. And I want to say to you, you live a focused life, you can see God do things that are astonishing to you. Astonishing. But I tell you the other thing you see. When you live a focused life, you get to enjoy Jesus. And let me tell you what I think Paul was saying. Don't live your life in fear when you can enjoy who Jesus is. I mean, live it enjoying who he is and experience the best of who he is. Let me tell you what we discover sometime. We make Jesus religion instead of faith. We look at him as a rule instead of a life. And I want to encourage you today as you think about who Jesus is, enjoy him as the one who's ordered out the steps of your journey. And what I want you to see is when you step out in faith and you trust him, you'll begin to experience the supernatural that only God can do. It doesn't just have to be a material thing. Let me tell you something. There's nothing greater than a peace that passes understanding. How could you ever put a price tag on a joy that's unspeakable? How could you ever look at a love that comes from God that's perfect and not be overwhelmed by it? But I'm going to tell you what I want to say to you as we think about the future. We need to enjoy Jesus more because he's everything. He's everything we'll ever have. So first of all, he says, I want you to kindle this afresh. In other words, set that on fire. And anyone who's here, you understand the difference between green wood and that that's ready to burn. And it's interesting because what do they call that wood that's ready to burn? It's seasoned, isn't it? In other words, it has been cut long enough to dry to be used the right way. And here's what I want you to see. A bunch of us have got plenty of seasoned wood in our lives. We've lived long enough to know that we can trust him. We've watched long enough to see how he works. We've listened long enough to hear his voice. We've yielded enough to know how to be obedient. We have wondered and watched and seen God's faithfulness. And today I want to say to you that all of us need to make sure our hearts are fixed on a focused life. Let me say this to you. If your focus diminishes, your fear will increase. In other words, if you start looking at things based on what you fear instead of what you believe, and then all of a sudden things will diminish. But then he gets to verse 7. First of all, he wants us to have a focused life. But then I want you to see the power of fear. Take a moment and look what he says here. He says very clearly, without reservation, for God has not. And you ought to circle the word not there in your Bible. Because here's what you discover. If you live inside of fear, you'll always live inside of circumstances. But if you live inside of faith, you'll always live inside of convictions. If you let your fear define you, remember what I said. What will it do? That fear will misdirect you completely away from your purpose in life, but your faith will carry you all the way home. And so all of a sudden, we begin to see that he says to him, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. In other words, very clearly, God's not said to us, you ought to be afraid. What he said is, you have the opposite of that. And I want you to think about fear for a moment, because when I think about fear, it does a lot of things. It's interesting because the consequence of fear is that you ultimately, when you think about it, it immobilizes your life mission. How many people have you known who had a great opportunity to have a great life, but they got afraid? Maybe it's that next step in your career. You're afraid to take it, and you didn't do it. I'll never forget the moment that Cindy and I had the privilege of being pastors for the first time, and I was called to be a pastor in Dell City, and I can remember it so vividly because I'll never forget the guy who was hiring me. I asked him, man, I'm 20 years old. Why are you hiring me? It's so funny. He said, where are you from? I said, I'm from Fort Smith, Arkansas. He said, you know where I'm from? I'm from Greenwood, Arkansas. And he said, God grows good men in that part of the world. Well, I looked at him, I thought, he's crazy. I mean, that guy, he's crazy. I asked him, I said, what do you see? He said, I see you either succeed or fail. I want to take the risk. Now, I'll never forget what that man taught me. He's been in heaven. I did his funeral a few years ago. I still think about him every day because he didn't live in fear. Now, he did live in fear of stuff that was not even relevant. For example, when storms blew through, you know what he would do? He had a house that was had a not a basement, but a crawl space, and he had a boat that he used to fish in. You know what he'd do? He'd climb on that boat, and he would message me, storm's coming. Well, I'm sitting in my house in Dunwoody at that time, and said, well, what are you doing? He said, I'm under the boat. And I used to think, Billy Bob, you had enough faith to believe that 5,000 people would come to church on one Sunday, and you think that tornado's going to get you? It's not going to get you. When he got sick, his fear dissipated. Diagnosed with cancer. He retired. By the way, just to give you a quick word of warning, don't retire. Redirect, all right? Everybody know retires, they go quick. Redirect your life. I took him to lunch every week while he was sick. I stopped my world because I wanted to hear his during that sickness. And even at the edge of eternity, I didn't hear fear. I heard faith. And what I want you to see is this. What does fear do? Fear does three things you never want to forget. First of all, fear comes at us and paralyzes. It paralyzes who we are. And when it paralyzes, then it begins to distract us. And watch this carefully. Fear ultimately destroys our purpose in life. How many people live their life fearful? Listen carefully. If your mom and dad walked away from you, you don't look at it in fear. You stand in faith that the God who knows your name will be the God who helps you through that journey. If you have a dad like I had, who never ever expressed love, who never ever expressed kindness, who never ever hugged you, who never ever said you can make it, who looked at you when you went into ministry and said, "This is the most foolish thing you'll ever do." If you had a dad like that, set him aside and let the Father of all fathers grab hold of your heart and you live a life of faith. Don't you let the fear of somebody else's immaturity and lack of wisdom steal your focus in life. You don't let it happen, because what you'll discover is if you live that way, you miss everything. And what fear ultimately does, it destroys. Then he comes back to what faith can do. Look at it with me in verse 7. Notice what he says here. Because here, he comes to the plan of God for our lives. And you can't miss this, because he has a great plan far beyond what anything we could ever dream. Look at it with me if you would. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but a power and love and discipline. Let's look at those words, because you may miss the power of them if you're not careful. The significance of how they're written. And it's interesting, because he chose three words to say to Timothy. Don't you forget what your mama modeled. Don't you forget what your grandmother modeled. Don't you forget what I modeled. He references three different people, himself and his mother, or Timothy's mother and Timothy's grandmother. And here's what I want you to see. If you live a life of faith, God will always put somebody in front of you who's living it out in a more powerful way than you. You'll meet them. You'll be encouraged by them. You'll be strengthened by their witness. They'll bless you. And what he says here, he takes three words. Three words. I want you to see them, because first of all, he uses the word power. And when you look at that particular word, it's interesting, because it has to do with being dynamic. It has to do with being effective. It has to do with impacting. It literally has to do with all three of those things. And when you think about it, what he's really saying here is you get this kind of power, and you have an unlimited resource. Unlimited resource. I have a buddy sitting out here who was on a fishing trip several months ago. He testified to me on a particular Sunday when we were here and talking about his boat being overturned and being in a life vest and making it out of there. And it's interesting. It didn't stop him fishing. It did remind him how short life is. But I'm going to tell you what you discover. There is a power that God gives us. And here's what I want you to say. It's a principle you cannot miss. Don't miss this. All power is given to us for a purpose. He doesn't give it to us for us to waste it. Anybody grow up around somebody that turned the lights off as soon as you left the room, in every room, no matter what, and there was never an extra light burning? Anybody ever grow up in a family like that? And for those of you who didn't like it being dark, it was a little bit alarming, wasn't it? Because as soon as, sometimes you went out of the room and the light went off. And over time, then you grew up and you grew up in your house, and what did you do? You turned on little lamps everywhere. You had lights burning. You made sure there's light everywhere because you remember what it was like. It was really dark. And what I want you to see is this. When it comes to Jesus, the light never goes off. Don't you love that? That every bit of power he gives us, and it never does, and by the way, it never blinks either. It never blinks off. You don't have to worry about any transformers. You don't have to worry about any terrorist threats. You don't have to worry about any of that. The power is there. And what I want you to see is this. God gave you a great power to live and trust him and believe in him. Don't let go of it. Hold on to it. Hold on to it. How thankful I am that our sweet niece, instead of walking away from Jesus, when her husband walked away from her, she walked towards Jesus, and he's giving her the very desires of her heart. Someday when I'm back in Arkansas, I'm going to see her former husband. I'm going to take a picture too. I know where he works. By the way, I could have got him fired because I have friends in very high places in that company. And my first flesh said, wipe him out. I'm being honest. My second thought was, leave it in God's hand, because the power rests in his name, not in our ability to influence someone else. His power. But then look on though, because then he says, you have this love that's there. Power and love. And when you see that, it's the sharing, affirming, pleasing love that blesses us beyond compare. And when you look at that, it's that unconditional blessing. My wife had been on a trip this last week, and last night we had a chance to have dinner with Ashley and Elliot and the two little grandbabies, and you know, I picked up the first grandbaby, the little one. And I had to be really honest with you. I scare her. She cries. I mean, as soon as I pick her up, she goes, "Mwah!" I said, "Audrey, I haven't even done anything yet. Can you give me a minute?" And she looks at me and her 4-month-old, you know, like, "Mwah!" She cried again, but I didn't put her down. I held on to her because I know she knows how much Gramps loves her. Before it was over, her little head was asleep in my arm, sound asleep. Now, I had taken her because she doesn't cry when Cindy holds her. I don't understand that, but she doesn't. And I wanted Cindy, after being gone for a week, to see that while she's gone, Gramps can step up with love and make that girl feel really at home. But let me tell you what I discovered. The other little girl, she's a little older. I watched her. You know what? She's seen me all week. She didn't want nothing to do with me. But she hadn't seen her grandmother in a week. She hadn't seen her Nana in a week. She's holding her and grabbing hold of her and touching her and looking in her eyes. And what I saw, there was unconditional blessings. I can't think of a greater treasure that God's given us in the ability to love. Aren't you grateful that you can love people and you can love others and care about them in an amazing way? God faithfully opens that door for us. And what I want you to see about love is when you think about those qualities, it has so many different ways. In fact, when you look at that word, it has those three distinctive qualities most present: to share, to affirm, to please. And aren't you pleased when someone says, "I love you"? Doesn't bless you? I love it because it does something inside of us. But then he says, discipline. Now, discipline is an interesting word because it has to do with self-control. And when you look at that particular word, it has to do with being secure and controlled, but also having inside of your own life a focused look inside of who God is. And what happens here is this. It's like what transpires when you lack discipline, self-control, and you, for example, eat too much ice cream. I was on a mission trip not too many years ago, and I was on the stopover going back home, and we went to a gelato shop that's my favorite in the world. And for those who are with me, they remember it, because you know what I did? I ordered a big old dip of that. I love black cherry gelato. If you're ever going to buy me any, get the black cherry. In fact, be inspired to do that. But here, what you discover is the first dip of that black cherry gelato was fabulous. But you know what I told my buddy who was with me? I want another one. I ate a second one. You know what happened? I hate to confess this, but I ate a third one. I don't know if you've ever put that much sugar in your body at one time. I was sick as a dog. I was so sick. And you know what my three friends who were with me did? They laughed. They didn't show love. They didn't even show power. And they certainly laughed at my lack of discipline. Next time I went to that shop, I was with Cindy. I went to the same shop. "How many dips you want?" You know what I said? "Only one. Only one." And what I want you to see is this. Listen carefully. When it comes to discipline, be sure and careful what you dip out. Because when you look at this word discipline, it has to do with the amazing impact can happen when you make the right choice. So imagine for a moment, you're here at church and you realize something. God has something for you. All you have to do is stay focused. All you got to do is stay focused. And listen to this principle. When you stay focused, when you let your life get centered in what it is He has for you, when you stay focused and let your life center in on what He has for you, you will conquer fear. You will conquer anything coming at you. And you'll experience the amazing plan God has for your life. You see, for me, the idea of letting fear take hold is the most alarming thought I could ever have. And I'll be honest with you, this week, I haven't felt well. I got feeling bad during the week, and it's interesting what happens. You start feeling bad for a little while, what do you turn your focus to? Yourself. Yourself. And then God used some amazing, validating moments to turn me right back where I'm supposed to be. And I'm being transparent with you because here's what I want you to say. You may have a bad week this week. Don't mope around all week. Get up and get moving. Step up. Don't let it get the best of you. It's interesting what happened to me. When I opened this book up, any fear I have, any pain I have, anything, it begins to dissipate. I wrote 5 messages while I felt bad. And I guarantee you they were from God because He turned my attention to the very words of this verse: fear, faith, discipline, love. Being able to see that and power. Those 5 thoughts. And so today I want to ask you, when you think about where you are, we are at that point where it's the anniversary of a new day for us. I want to ask you simply this: will you step up? Will you step up? Because if you'll step up, we'll watch God do an amazing thing. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It speaks to our hearts and lives. What a joy it is inside of my heart to know that the best is yet to come. And in this room, there are young couples who need to step up and become a part of this family. There are families and individuals who need to be a part of this family. This is a day in which those who have been hearing you speak need to yield to that. And Lord, I ask you to move in their lives in a way only you can do. Touch their hearts. Speak to them, young or old, first time or been here for weeks. Lord, speak to hearts and lives. Cause them to step up for you. I ask this in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.